Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Let's go to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. And welcome onto the show. Our buddy Ben Standig, Substack Standig, joins us from the States, where he is still here in the DMV. Ben, what's up, man? How are you?
Guys, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Indeed. So what's the deal with this architecture hiring slash, you know, they landed on somebody? What's this process been like? And for the average fan that's excited about the stadium but doesn't know a whole lot about anything else with this stadium, how much should they care about this development today? What does it signify?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we all appreciate the fact that it's going to happen, but every time there's a new announcement, it's like, oh, okay, this is actually happening. They're really going to go forward with this and build this stadium. And, you know, they picked the architectural firm that handled SoFi Stadium in L.A., AT&T Stadium in Dallas, a.k.a. Jerry World, the U.S. Bank Stadium up in Minneapolis, which I think is great. All these three stadiums are, you know, pretty impressive in their own way and, you know, have a modern look to them. And, I don't know how many people are in this space. You know, they interviewed a few different firms, settled here. And, it should be a pretty modern look. You know, I think they do a pretty good job, from what I gather, of finding ways to make the stadium connect to the local, I don't know, topography, architecture, something, you know, the history, something. I don't know what that would be for here, but, all things considered, it seems like a pretty good choice. And now we'll wait and see what the actual design is. We know it'll be roughly, you know, a 65,000 seat stadium, have a roof on it. And beyond that, you know, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to get into Art Deco or Art Nouveau or whatever from like something about Mary or George Costanza, pretend to be an architect. I have no idea about any of the terms or anything like that. But you kind of touched on my question, Ben. That is, are they, we're just going to make a new sleek-looking thing, or is there some deference towards the locale? And my editorial is, Nationals Park to me is fine. If you didn't know it was Nationals Park, it was in D.C. for a long time, you wouldn't know that it had any connection to D.C. And they started to do a better job of that, but there's nothing that says D.C. about it. It's just sort of, you know, boring gray concrete. Are they known for being able to say, hey, this is D.C., you can tell by, fill in the blank?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Minnesota is a good example. I mean, the stadium looks like a pirate ship, basically, from the outside. It's very cool looking. And obviously it connects with the Vikings name. So in this case, sounds like, but this is just my guess, but from what I have a little bit, I gather that they will somehow connect with, you know, the DC of it all. You know, I don't know if it's going to look like the Capitol or the White House or anything along those lines, but have something my guess is it's going to, in some way, shape, or form, resemble or give you some feel that it is part of D.C. Because, like you said, with Nats Park, it feels like it's pretty generic. And same thing with, like, FedEx Field, which obviously was built, you know, or not FedEx Field, but Northwest Stadium now, built back in the day. And it was a sort of like, yeah, it existed, but it didn't have anything to do with kind of anything. And I get the sense that this one should have some sort of specific aspects of it that's going to make you recognize where you are.
Ben Standing on Grant and Danny. With them leaning into the architects that helped design SoFi, it gives me some hope of this idea that they want where you can still feel like you're outside while you're inside. They've talked a lot about this. We know that it's going to be very likely a domed stadium. I know they've said it's not official that it won't be a retractable roof, but everything I've heard, and I'd be curious if you've heard anything different, is that they really have no plans on a retractable roof. I think this ownership feels like that's a lot of money, would be a huge expense to add to this project that they don't feel like is necessarily worthwhile.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't get the sense that the retractable aspect is going to happen. I get it. You know, like, ah, come on, you're in for a dime, in for a dollar. What's another few, you know, millions and millions of dollars? Just go for it. But, yeah, that other part you're mentioning will be interesting because SoFi, obviously, you know, you're out in L.A., so being outside in the elements, even when you're sort of under that roof, is, you know, it's great weather. Here, we know how part of the year it's not going to be super fun. So I do wonder about that, especially if they're going to have Final Fours and other events like that that are not necessarily designed to be in the elements in any way, shape, or form. So I don't know how that works. But look, I mean, this is a pretty exciting scenario. I mean, who knows what this will look like? But, you know, like we were just saying, between the original, you know, Jack Kent Cook World and the Nats Park, you know, kind of relatively underwhelming from an architectural standpoint, and I have high hopes for this one. Maybe I'm foolish for that, but I do kind of feel like, especially now having hired this firm, that this is going to be something that's going to be pretty eye-opening, what ultimately it looks like and how it plays out. You know, do we approve it? We'll see, but it should be pretty impressive facility, I would imagine.
I just think they got too many sharp people and too much money involved with really, really successful people who have backgrounds in some of these types of things. Like Mitch Rales, you know, he has Glenstone, where it's art, and I just think there's no way they screw this up with the money they're going to be dumping into the project in the city. You get one shot to do it. We're talking to Ben Standing on Grant and Danny. Specific to the indoor stadium, what's your thought on this? We get a lot of blowback from people who don't want the stadium to be domed and who want an outdoor stadium and to be in the elements. I've always kind of felt like this is one of those, like, oh, if this guy wins the presidency, I'm going to leave things. Like, I'll like it less. Until you're sitting inside and it's 68 degrees on a snowy day. And then all of a sudden you don't care as much. Like, do you agree, or do you actually think they're going to alienate some people by going indoors?
Well, I mean, they will probably alienate some people. But yes, to your point, it's easy to say that when you're at your house watching the thing on TV and you like seeing, it's like, you know, when everybody likes watching the snow games, you don't want to necessarily be at the snow game, you know? So I do think there's some of that going on. I mean, look, this is why I do wish it was a retractable, because it would be fun, depending on what level of elements we're talking about, for it to feel, you know, like it's winter. You know, this is the one thing I've always thought was weird about the NFL when it comes to like Super Bowl locations. Everybody wants snow games and football played in the elements and all that, except for the biggest game that they only want in, you know, a hermetically sealed dome or in, like, you know, 75 degree weather, even though we all view football as a game played in the 20s and 30s. So that part's kind of weird, but yeah, I think, look, again, this is not just about, it is about this football team, but they're viewing it as far more than that, and the far more than that aspect of it does not work as well at all.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable.
Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
For an outdoor, I mean, certainly not a pure outdoor stadium. If you want to have, you know, these other events, you can't do that. But if you want to have a retractable roof, you know, to me that would be completely fine. It's not my money.
Ben, standing with us here on G&D. So two questions for you. I'll ask you the first one first. Grass? That's the wave now. Everybody's mad at the turf.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I missed it. Have they said what's the deal with this?
I'm just thinking if it's an indoor stadium, it's going to be hard to have grass unless you really think about it. Like, is there a way to have, player-friendly grass in there, or are people going to be upset about it?
Well, ironically, right, they're over in Spain right now, and I think Real Madrid, where they're playing, has like one of these crazy setups where they can, you know, move the turf, you know, in and out, and
they grow it under the stadium. It's crazy.
Right. It's crazy technology, and you know, if maybe there's something like that. I mean, like the Arizona Cardinals have something along those lines. So maybe, you know, we're at a point where that's just sort of the norm, or gets close to that by the time this thing is ready to go and they do that. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, if it's not grass, then I don't know what the most modern version of, you know, non-grass is, but hopefully it's that at a minimum. But you're right. I mean, this is a huge deal. Players complain about it all the time. I think, you know, we complain about it because we don't want the players to get hurt. So hopefully whatever they do, it's going to be the best case scenario and not just some sort of, hey, we don't want to spend any more money, so give us the cheapest surface possible. I don't see that happening, but that would be the worst case for sure.
So this is going to sound like I'm joking, but I am not. Are they willing to cheat? And here's what I mean. I want sun glares on the opponents. I want nonsensical noise amplifying echo technology to make it so they can't talk to each other, but Washington can. Will they go all out and make an actual home field advantage? Like a lot of teams seem to not really be willing to do. Like Seattle did it, and I want everyone to be like that.
Well, like, right, the Dolphins have, like, the best version, right? Their sideline's in the shade. The other team is baking in the South Florida sun. Yeah, I'm all in favor of that. I would think that they would. I mean, look, I always think with Josh Harris, he's a guy that was willing to do the process. He was willingly allowing his team to lose games in a very public, loud way, alienate people, probably hurt his ticket buying, opportunities because they thought that was the best way to go. So, yeah, I leave out there for us hope of some chicanery in, like, the way you're describing here, where maybe they come up with, like, hey, what's the best way to give us some sort of advantage? I can see that happening. Will they? You know, who knows? But I can see it happening, sure.
Check out Ben Standig's Substack at Last Man Standig on the Substack feeds, so go check that out. Ben, we had a poll of the day that we posted in our first hour, got a lot of calls on. I want to ask this question to you. It's been such a disastrous season, but if you fast forward 365 days from right now, is Washington over 500 and a playoff team again? Do you view this as fixable in one off season?
Oh, man. Here's my caveat to saying yes or no. I got to know what we think of this, of these last two draft classes by the end of this season. Because if these two draft classes are at least enough, if enough of these players by the end of the year were going, okay, Mikey Sanders still, whatever was going on with him earlier in the year, he's worked it out. He now looks like a legit slot going forward. You know, Bobby Wagner, maybe it's, you know, this is the end for him, but we now think, hey, Jordan McGee, he's got this crazy athleticism. He's ready to take over that spot, et cetera. If these things happen, if enough of these guys can show they're viable, then I think an offseason could be enough. You know, look, I do think as much as we want to pillage the defensive staff and players, the amount of injuries this team has had has just been unsustainable. And I think ultimately that's the big reason here. And, you know, Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin, et cetera, are the most obvious guys. So if they get these guys back and these draft classes start to show more than we've seen so far beyond the quarterback, then I think one offseason could, you know, help turn this thing around. But if it's where we are right now, where we're kind of not sure about a lot of these guys, and they're going to have the third fewest players under contract next year, you know, and, you know, this team has been obviously the oldest team, and how are they going to replace all these people, then I don't know if we can say one offseason gets it done. But look, I think with Jaden Daniels, you know, you talked about the records before. Like, I had them at 9-8, but largely that was 9 because I thought that's the floor with a healthy version of him. We obviously haven't gotten that. So if that maintains true, that as long as he's on the field, you can be a winning record team, then, you know, maybe an offseason helps. But like I said, let me know what these draft classes are all about, and then I'll tell you where I think this team will be in a year from now.
What's their most dire need that they could use right now, but obviously you can't do much player acquisition? What's their biggest need now and then kind of heading into that next year as we revamp?
I mean, I think on defense, it's a combination of the pass rush has been non-existent. They only have 7 sacks in the last 5 games. I mean, that's partly no Dorrance Armstrong, but also just they didn't have a lot of depth in that spot. But also, I just think on defense, they've got to find a guy who is a player that the other team has to constantly worry about. It doesn't have to be a pass rusher. And, you know, it's easy to say, like, hey, Kyle Hamilton, like with the Ravens, they just move him all over the place and he becomes a weapon wherever he is, or it's a, you know, a Fred Warner type linebacker or whatever. But they need somebody on defense that is a true difference maker, somebody that the offense has to constantly account for, you know, run away from, whatever it might be. If they can do that, that's easier said than done, but I still think, like, in general, that's what they need. But pass rush, ultimately, if you don't have a pass rush, everything else behind it, that doesn't really make as much difference.
Ben, if they get a top 5 pick, there's going to be a lot of excitement about using it on a player like the one you were just describing, but I think they got to trade back. They don't have enough picks. They got to recoup. Do you endorse this message?
Oh, yeah. I'm always an endorser of this message. I broke the seal today, guys. I had up my first mock draft today up on my Substack. I did a
no, you
that's
did.
Great. That's
today
great.
Was the day.
Oh yeah, I people have been joking about it for a few weeks, and going into the Detroit game, I'm like, okay, I think they're about to get smushed, and what am I going to do here? So I reached out to somebody I know who works in a front office for another team. I was like, hey, I haven't looked at the draft at all. I need your help. But anyway, so we did the first, like, 15 picks. He kind of gave me some thoughts as we went through it. But then I said, give me a couple of names of some guys in, like, day 2, a receiver and a cornerback, because we went for defensive line in the first round, who, like, if they trade down, might be somebody to keep an eye on. Because I'm with you. Like, this is, you know, there's going to be a lot of unfortunate things that are going to happen in this offseason, and one of them is going to be the reality of no second-round pick, no fourth-round pick, and yet each of those picks might be top 10 in the round based on where, you know, where things are right now. So that's going to sting. And then, yeah, when you only have a first and a third in terms of getting, you know, any kind of immediate help, that's not going to be nearly enough. So I think trading down, like you said, makes a lot of sense. The biggest thing I would hope for, if I'm a fan, if you want this approach, is you need some of these quarterbacks to really show out the rest of the season. Because right now, talking to the person I was just talking to, and just, you know, what you read in general, this quarterback classes here has really fallen apart, but that can change quickly. We know how desperate teams are, and that's where you can maybe, you know, if you have a top 10 pick, get some good value trading back. But I'm with you in general, Grant. Like, I don't get the quick sense that there's, like, some dominant, amazing, you can't pass on this guy players where they're potentially going to be picking, but who the hell knows? I didn't think they'd be picking in the top 10, let alone potentially in the top 5. So, you know, what do I know?
Ben, you cover this team and you're around these folks a lot. I know they're pretty notoriously tight-lipped in terms of a lot of things, but just give me your best sense. What do you think they think? In other words, are they going, God, these injuries, and that's the reason? Or are they looking in the mirror going, you know, our whole approach to go old and 1 year and short-term really backfired and we're hurt a lot? In other words, do you think, happen to believe, are pretty competent, smart people that get it, whereas, you know, the Bruces and the Vinnies of the world probably didn't, but do you think they think this is just bad luck, or do you think they know what's needed here to go into this offseason of a total paradigm overhaul?
Well, I think my guess would be that the injuries would be where they would lean into. You know, again, it was early in the year, but they were 3-2. And obviously things have, you know, injuries have completely derailed everything since, especially when, you know, your biggest difference maker and the quarterback is out for a bunch of these games. Your one big offensive weapon is out for a bunch of these games. Again, I think that these injuries have exposed their issues at depth. I think if you go back and look a year ago when Dan Quinn made the point of saying it's not a rebuild, it's a recalibration, that was a bunch of hooey. Now, I understand why he said it, but in real time, I was like, I don't know about that one, my guy. And then you see where the roster is. I think it is more of a rebuild than that statement allowed. But, of course, last year then happened, and they, you know, made it all the way to the NFC Championship game because, you know, young quarterback who was amazing, everything else just kind of broke their way. And, you know, they got the best version of everybody. Plus, I still think we probably don't discuss it enough and can't prove it. But whatever, like, positive karma they got for finally unloading Dan Snyder in the whole era, you know, for last year was really, you know, the first time that it was a no Snyder. I really think there was a lot there that just played out perfectly for them as well. So all that said, like, I think that they probably think that they're still – a team that can contend. Look, this is the NFL. Their schedule next year shouldn't be as complicated as this one or as challenging as this one, and that'll help. But, yeah, I mean, I think you would hope that at a minimum they have to look in the mirror, not so much the old guy part, but, like, what, you know, are we not getting the right guys for what we're trying to do? Because clearly on defense this year there's been some massive disconnect, and whether that's the play calling or the players, something is way off, and they need to figure that out for sure.
How do you spell hooey?
Is it like H-O-O-E-Y?
That's what I think.
I wouldn't know. That's a great word, though. I might have to work it into the lexicon, especially the way this season's trending at this point. Check out Ben at his Substack. It's Last Man Standing. Ben, thank you, buddy. Good info today.
Thanks, Ben.
Guys, always appreciate it, too.
Yeah, always love checking in with him. Does a great job on the Commanders beat.
ARC Raiders. A multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of ARK and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. ARK Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok's Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
Whoa, boss, how did that happen?
Mind your business.
I mean, how did a forklift make a shish kebab out of our company truck?
I said, mind your business, Billy. It's why we have auto owners.
We worked with an independent agent to customize our policies. So when the unexpected happens, we know we're covered. Because unlike you, minding our business is their business.
Oh, that's simple human sense.
Ask your independent agent if auto owners make sense for you.
You didn't do this, did you, boss?
Mind your business, Billy.